again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 81 in a 260 program series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years. We follow the same format used by that beloved Frank Fitzsimmons in his coverage of the early years here, so we simply call it where Fitz left off. Well, let's talk about beer joints, pool halls, the strictures of a couple of beer and wine elections, plus a couple of ABC votes in the city. Please, before another program goes by, let me extend my personal thanks to two people. One, Harold Huggins, a longtime employee of Thomas Shepard & Son Funeral Home, and with a vast personal knowledge of cemeteries in the county. And the other is Gordon Carpenter, who until his retirement was associated with the North Carolina Department of Revenue. As an avocation, Gordon has assisted Mark White in auctions in recent years. I thank Harold because he loaned to me a 1946 city directory published by the Miller Directory Company. Now, granted, it had no backs to it. The pages are yellowed and the binding barely holds it together, but it is priceless. And Gordon loaned to me a 1946 edition of the Hendersonville, North Carolina Southern Bell Telephone Directory. With these two documents constantly before me, I can rely on the hard facts of reality rather than fleeting memories of what I think I remember. That Southern Bell Directory in 1946 only had about 3,000 listings, and at least a fourth of those were commercial businesses. And the yellow pages were not yellow, except from age, and numbered only 25 firms. With this information before us, let's now stroll down Memory Lane on Main Street and elsewhere in the golden years of 1946 plus. On Main Street, across from the courthouse, was the City or the Courthouse Cafe at 122 North Main. In the next block was the Nugget Cafe at 236 North Main. Then north of Duke Power Company, 315 North Main, was the Blue Grill. In the same block, a bit further north, was the Hot Spot. Across the street at 343 North Main was the Brunswick Lunch and Billiard Parlor. In the next block, where Max Menswear operates today, was the Pickwick. And just above 5th Avenue on North Main was the Pastime Lunch and Billiards. Down on the corner of 7th and Main was Tracy's Place, next to the bus station. Now, we also did have distinctive eating places like Home Food Shop Cafeteria, 508 Main, the Skyland Hotel Coffee Shop in the hotel. There was Roadies, also Rushers, in those blocks between 6th and 7th. On South Main, there was Jim's Drive-In Lunch, and on South Church was Shorty's Pig and Whistle. On Greenville Highway were Dale's Drive-In and the Snack Shack. On 7th Avenue, there was the Marmack Grill. On 7th Avenue East, 360 7th Avenue East. There was also the Blue Ribbon Smoke Shop on 4th, and there was Freeman's Newsstand on Church, and I'll explain why I mention those two places in a minute. There was a total of 17 so-called eating places, two newsstands and publication emporiums, and before the 50s would arrive, we'd also add Johnny and Strawberry Brock's drive-ins on the south end of town, and the Atlantic Cafe would open on 7th Avenue. Now, obviously, with only a shade above 25,000 people living in the entire county, there was no way that that many businesses would be able to survive on serving food. But remember, at the beginning I said beer joints and pool halls. There were bona fide eating establishments. The Skyland Hotel was trying to cater to the elite. Carl Morris and his mother, Charm Keeter, were known for their generous portions of delicious food at the Home Food Shop Cafeteria and other good eating places like the Blue Grill, Roadies, and Rushers. But the vast majority of these so-called eating places were really hot dog and hamburger stands that sold beer and wine. And the more successful of these places also offered pool tables, spelled as Meredith Wilson wrote in The Music Man, spelled with a P, which rhymes with a T, and that spells trouble. The old Pastime, the Brunswick, and the Pickwick. They were fairly quiet until Friday and Saturday came along, and then all the bubbas would come to town and engage not just in quaffing a few, but a consummate inhalation of brews throughout the day. The old country music song, Girls Get Prettier at Closing Time, was certainly appropriate, and late in the day, on Fridays and Saturdays, great battles were waged by the inebriated walruses seeking to protect their beach hold. Tomorrow I'll continue the story of a Hendersonville back in the 40s and early 50s that was strictly out of the Old West. And these are actually memories for one who's been there, seen that. The seventh son of a seventh son, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave him with the job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.